It's good to see each and every one of you here today, and I'd like to welcome those that happen to be live streaming as well. We come this day to hear the word of the Lord taught, and I would like to read part of our first song because it seems to strike a real chord in me today. And it says, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room." So I have to ask a question. Have you prepared room in your heart to hear the word of God this day? Did you come hungry, ready to be fed spiritually? I know my brother has prepared. Have you prepared to receive God's word? So I'll give you our speaker, our brother, Apostle Jay Moser, this morning.
I would also like to quote a song, one we just sang. In the second verse of that song, number 42, it says, "Oh, sing of fragrant flowers' breath and of the sinless boy. For now the flowers of Nazareth in every heart may grow." You know, one of the scriptures in the Book of Mormon makes the statement that all things have become new. I think it's we're all aware that this holiday season that we enjoy every year, the Christmas season, is most likely, it is most definitely not his birth. It probably more closely coincides with the Jewish holidays based on the lunar system, and probably was near one of the high holy days, you know, whether it be in March, April, or in September, October. That's probably more the time it was, more than likely. But I think for us, you know, as Gentiles, for us as a nation and as a church, I kind of like this fact that Christmas is near the new year, our new year. Because one of the things that to me Christmas means above all of the things is that flowers can grow in everybody's heart if they want. We can live differently. We can be different. We can change. We can start over. We can be a different people. We have this right. We have because God's Son was given to us. You know, in this day when there's so much hatred and so much mistrust in the world, we really should be a people who, wherever we go, we bless humanity. By our presence, by our words, we should bless this world. Wish the praises to be on the lips of every person. And we should wish and desire that God would bless every person. And extend to humanity this concept that God does love you. God created you because he wanted you. We should be doing this. In a world where you hear on a daily basis where there's a segment of humanity that is cursing the rest of the world or cursing people who disagree with them, we cannot join them. We cannot curse humanity. We should be blessing our young women and our young men who are in our midst so that they feel wanted and loved and precious to us and to God. Because they are. Everyone is precious unto God. I would like to begin, you know, thinking about these things. Last night I had a very interesting experience and something I had never done before. I'm going to make sure I have a picture here. Yeah, I do. I even chose a different color than white. That's how special this day is. And I hope that you can see it. I don't know if you can see it or not, but I hope you can. So, you know, and it's got this word up there. Let us go up. You know, I read about this morning. Let us go up. That's a scriptural term, and it comes out of the scriptures as a quote. It also has something to do with the thing that we went to go see last night or to participate in. I went to a bat mitzvah, which is a... It is not a scriptural thing. It's a thing which a Jewish culture has adopted. And back in the 1920s or sometime, they began to... They prior to that, they were doing bar mitzvahs for men, kind of a coming out ceremony, and they decided to start doing it for women. But they gave us this booklet, and so I was interested in looking at it to see what it had to say, and so I was able to follow along. And this is one time I was kind of glad I had something to look, a program to look as they were reading, you know, because there was a lot of it was in Hebrew. And I enjoyed it as I listened to it, because I was, you know, I was looking, you know, for anything that would point back to our roots. And I saw several things pointing back to the roots that we all stand on. And as we go along, you know, they made this, that this was, you know, she was coming out. But as I read the book, They said that this word, Alaya, and Alaya means, it has a special meaning. It means to ascend, and this was her first Alaya, her first ascension, not like a coming out, but ascending as someplace she is actually going. And the act of going up, And I got these words, you know, from Wikipedia. And this is what Alaya means. It is the immigration of Jews from the diaspora to the land of Israel. Eretz Israel in Hebrew, also defined as the act of going up or as the progressing towards Jerusalem. Alaya is one of the most basic tenets of Zionism. And that was in Wikipedia. Of course, those things, Wikipedia can always be wrong, but here is this general understanding. The act of going up, that is a scriptural term. It's a scriptural term. It's been used in history. And here we have in the book of Numbers, we find Caleb making the statement. As they come onto the borders of the promised land, and Moses and Aaron sent the spies over to look at it and to see what it was all about, and they all came back with this fabulous story, and some of them with, you know, they're great people and giants, and the cities are well armed and so on and so forth, and they were all discouraging, and they didn't either. This is something, it's just too big for us. But Caleb says, let us go up at once. And in the scripture, you'll always find when they're going to Jerusalem, they're going up to Jerusalem. I'm interested in this because geographically, it's pretty much the same. But of course, once you get to Jerusalem, then you go down into Jerusalem. It's down from the hills around it. But when you're going up, you know, because of the lay of the geography, you come from the coast and you go up into the hills, or you come from the Dead Sea or the Rift Valley area, and you come up and you come up to Jerusalem. I will never forget Brother McIndoe's sermon that he preached on the Temple Lot years ago. And he said he went for a walk that day, and he walked all around, and he was impressed by this idea that no matter where he walked, all roads were downhill from this place. Let us go up. Let us go up. You know, I notice in myself And I think in almost all people, we have a yearning, a great, vast yearning for something else, something more, something different, something to complete us, to make us, you know, to be us. Us. I see this, you know, when we have weddings here, and we're invited to come and participate in this wedding. I see it when I am walking down the road here, and a young lady, a princess in Israel, invites me to come over and look and sit out in her driveway and look at movies in the evening on a garage door. This yearning for companionship, this yearning to be with someone, to be with people, to be a part of something, and to have others a part of us. And I believe it comes from this basic need that we have, that God has given us. We are not complete without Him. We want this thing to fulfill us. Fulfill me. Fill my life. Make me feel complete. And we have this. We all have this because we are created for God and by Him. By Him and for Him. And we're not complete unless we're with Him. We want to be close to the source of life. You know, I was interested in this book that reads backwards. You know, I guess forwards, depending on how you look at it. But in here, I marked a couple of things that I thought was very interesting. And one of the things which they do is, of course, they have this person. They're charged with carrying the Torah, and they come out and they give them these big scrolls, these old pieces of paper rolled up on sticks, and they warn them, you know, and they're charged, you know, you don't touch the paper and all this kind of stuff. It's all, they make it all very special. And then she gets to carry it around to share, showing that it belongs to everyone, the Torah, God's Word. Belongs to everyone. And so they thought, you know, one of the little jewels that I saw, and she carried it around, and people would run over, and they would not touch it, but they would reach out with the booklet. They would reach out with something, a rope or a cloth or something, and they would touch it with that, and they would bring it back to their lips. And, of course, this is not necessarily scriptural, but it does mean, you know, it has something to do with the sacredness of God's Word, and we can't touch it, we can't change it. It was a holy thing. All these things that it means, but it was belonged to everyone. It belongs to everyone. And in their seder or cedar, you know, they have this statement about the Word of God, and it says it is a tree of life. Kind of like that statement. It is a tree of life to those who hold it fast, and all who cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Help us to return to you, O God, then truly we shall return. Renew our days as in the past. You know, here, there, they want to go back. This is part of their aliyah. We're going back. We're in this process of going back. And it began in earnest in 1882. That's when it began, when there were 36,000 people in that year that went back to Palestine. The world began to slowly be changed. And now there are Jews that have come there from, you know, at least 90 different countries in the world since that time to this. I find it interesting that the following year is when Krakatoa blew up, and the waves and the tidal waves from Krakatoa were stretched out 7,000 kilometers around the world. And this particular thing has changed the world. It's changed how the world looks at things. It's changed, it's formed the politics that we read in the newspaper today. What's going on? This going back going back, going up. And we have, as well, this opportunity to change the world around us by going up, by going back, by going to the place that God wants us to be. I found this other thing in the back here. They quote about Zion, and it says, let our eyes behold your presence in our midst and in the midst of our people in Zion. We praise you, O God, whose presence gives life to Zion and all Israel. We long and we hunger for God's presence. And so I find that they have similar goals that we have. We hunger for God's presence. We hunger for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst every day. And we have this promise that God has given to us. I want to read a long scripture right here. I want to read something because it's found. You can find some of these words. You can find them in Matthew and Luke. But I want to read this out of the Book of Mormon and read something, this plea, this invitation that God has given to all people everywhere. God has given this great invitation. We find this, that it's in the time when there was this great destruction in that part of the Americas, this great destruction and clouds of darkness and thick darkness, and people were weeping and wailing and crying out, and they heard a voice. And it's kind of like this world, it's dark. There's so many dark things. Unless we'll hear the voice of God. Let's read this, beginning with verse on page 627, verse 40. It says, "And many great destructions have I caused to come upon this land and upon this people because of their wickedness and their abominations. O all ye that are spared, because ye were more righteous than they, will you not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if you will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are they which come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto mine own, and mine own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God, even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption to the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, and have taken it up again. Therefore repent, and come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. And now behold, it came to pass that all the people of the land did hear these things, and did witness of it. And after these sayings, there was silence in the land for the space of many hours. For so great was the astonishment of the people that they did cease lamenting and howling for the loss of their kindred which had been slain. Therefore, there was silence in all the land for the space of many hours. The voice of God to calm and to change the attitudes and the minds, to help people to listen. But you notice how he probably could have done that at some time before all these terrible things took place, and very few people would have heard him. It's often when there are these troubles and these anxieties in our life that we are able to hear. God makes us, He prepares us to hear Him. He prepares us to call out to Him. Is it any wonder that so many people have so many afflictions today that they call out to God? How many people have been now since these things are coming upon the people and the afflictions and the fears and the anxieties? I hope that at least among us, that we are returning to our knees and with all our heart making the sacrifice unto God. And He will bless us. And there are tidings of great joy for those who will receive His word. For all people, for everyone, every person who wants them can have these things. Verse 55. And it came to pass that there came a voice again unto the people, and all the people did hear and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, which are descendants of Jacob, yea, which are of the house of Israel, O ye people of the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and have nourished you. And again, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel which have fallen, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that dwell at Jerusalem, as ye that have fallen, yea, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gather her chickens under her wings, if you repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. But if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwellings shall become desolate unto the time of the fulfilling of the covenant of your fathers, which that time is past. And now the time of the fulfilling is beginning again. It's beginning to take place. And that desolation, that diaspora, that when they were Israel was away, and they could not even think of returning and going up once again to Jerusalem and to their Zion and to the thought of returning to God and having God in their midst again with great power. They couldn't. But now those ways are opened. Those pathways are beginning to be opened more and more. Verse 59, but if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. And now it came to pass that after the people had heard these words, behold, they began to weep and howl again because of the loss of their kindred and friends. And it came to pass that thus did the 3 days pass away, and it was in the morning, and the darkness dispersed from off the face of the land, and the earth did cease to tremble, and the rocks did cease to rend, and the dreadful groanings did cease, and all the tumultuous noises did pass away, and the earth did cleave together again, that it stood, and the mourning, and the weeping, and the wailing of the people which were spared alive did cease, and their mourning was turned into joy, and their lamentations into the praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. And thus far were the Scriptures fulfilled, which had been spoken by the prophets. So I read that to see, you know, these are these changes, these tremendous changes when God is working with His people, of emotional changes, up and down. Making us, forcing us to deal with how we feel. Somebody mentioned that today about how we feel. Forcing us to make decisions. You know, when you start going to another place, You can't be in two places at one time. And when you go to you leave one place, and in our case, a spiritual place, if we're leaving those things that are past and behind us, when you go away from that and you go to God's spiritual place, some people are not going to go with you. It is just a fact. You're going to leave some people behind. And though they may be next door, you're going to leave them behind. We are forced to make decisions. What do we want? You know, if I go out and I buy a car and I buy a red car, well then, it's not going to be blue and red at the same time unless if you want it to look good. You know, you can't have two things at once. You can only have one thing at a time. Only have one thing at a time. You're only going to be in one place at a time. You can't be in the world and at the same time with the Lord. You can't be of the world, I should say. You can't be participating in these things and expect God to be with us with our heart. But He calls us and He gives us invitation to come and be nourished, to come and to find protection and strength, and that He would gather us in. And this is what we're doing. What we're doing when we come here, we're gathering in. We're gathering in right now. We're gathering in, and there's more to come. More things, more fulfillment of God's promises. But this is what we're doing. This is what our children are doing, and we're trying to teach them to do these things. I want to read this, you know, and at the same time that we're thinking about coming coming up, going back to the Lord, coming out of the world, getting drawing closer to Him, we read this particular statement in 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 81. For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. I don't know whether I'm going to read all this, but isn't this so true? Every time, whoever it is that comes in contact with the gospel, there is an immediate opposition. There's an opposition to drive them away, to pull them away, because everyone isn't going to go towards that. And certainly, our adversary doesn't want us to go. But it makes a statement in these verses here in the Book of Mormon that without an opposition, the purposes of God cannot be fulfilled. They cannot be fulfilled where there is choice between two things that are truly different. Two things, to be with God or to be in the world and to be of the world. To be with God. We can't be in two places at one time. And if everything is one, like the Force, is all this combination of good and evil, if that's what it really is, then there is no God. Because that's really what, you know, in that Eastern philosophy about the Force, you know, it's part good, part evil, the dark side, the light side, so on and so forth. That it's all, this power of God is all good and evil, and you got to combine them and get the right combination. And it's an absolute lie. Because the two cannot mix. There is evil, and there is good. And there's 1,000 combinations of decisions in between. But it doesn't make them right. And every decision that you make is always between two different things, whatever it may be. Sometimes we go to a restaurant with our grandkids, and they have sometimes a terrible decision trying to make, you know, which thing do they want to eat? What thing do they want to eat? Do they want a hamburger? Do they want a taco? What do they want? They have this terrible decision. Well, you've got to make a decision and live with your decision. Make that decision. And we can't have everything that we want in this world. Well, now to the meat of this matter. What is it exactly that makes us worthy? You know, we've been called, let's go up. Are we worthy to go? Are we worthy? Is there something we need to do to become worthy? But I want to read this scripture, and it's listed there on the screen. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. You know, the manifestation of this is that sometimes people have such a hard time thinking about serious things. They feel the great need to relieve the stress and about thinking about serious things and to go do something so that they don't have to think about those serious things. And I saw this last night. It's a kind of a worldly activity. They do something very serious. It was very serious, very respectful and very ordered, and then end up doing something that really is completely opposite of it to relieve the stress. Just like when the children of Israel, you know, they built an altar and they built a golden calf, and it says they sat down to eat and they rose up to play. Now, I know there's not really anything morally wrong with playing. But if it's your God, if that's what you want more than anything else, there's something definitely wrong with it. Something definitely wrong with it. But we do need play. Kids need to move. Kids need to work too, but we need the movement. That's what we're designed to do. But making a decision to be serious at the right moment, at the right time. And even as in the scriptures, they taught you to be serious for an entire day, all day long. Hard to do anymore. It's so hard in our culture anymore to be serious, even all day long. It's so hard. And I'm not advocating, you know, that we have, you know, playground policemen out there and blow whistles all the time and make sure no one does anything, but just that if we're going to draw closer to God and gain more of His strength, if we're going to go up, if we're going to be moving forward towards Jerusalem, towards Zion, towards a greater understanding and a greater closeness to God, we need to spend time in serenity, working out these issues and problems in our mind and our emotions and getting closer to God. Verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's coming. There's a snare. I find that people are kind of unconscious of what's actually happening. I kind of like to watch. There's this reporter on Fox News, and I've forgotten what his name is now. Waters, that's it. Waters World. He goes out to make interviews and ask people about the current events. And it's amazing. I'm sure that he only sometimes records the ones that have no clue what's going on. But he goes out and records them, and they have no clue. They don't know who George Washington is. They don't know when the country was made a nation. They don't know where Iraq is. They don't know. Some of these people don't know anything. They don't know. They're completely unaware. But they're very aware of their cell phones. They're very aware of where the best restaurant is. They're very aware of what they like, the best coffee or the best drinks or whatever. They're all aware of those kind of things. But they're not aware. They're in this trap. They're not aware of what's going on in the world. And Jesus says here in verse 36, watch ye therefore, you people, watch and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. Now as time has gone on, I used to believe, well, I'm going to escape all the destruction. I don't think that's what it means at all. I believe to escape what? The surfeiting and the drunkenness and the sins of this day. Watch and pray so you can escape the sin of this day. This is our enemy. This is our enemy. That you be worthy to do this. So what does it take? You know, are you worthy to be here? Well, you know, in literally, none of us really are worthy of it. But what makes us worthy to be here? You know, I had this little comparison about veterans. As I've talked to a few veterans, having known just a few, I've discovered that if they're truly a veteran of some armed conflict someplace, that they're a different person than they were. Veterans of war come back from war different from when they left. Changed. Some have a much greater appreciation of life, and some scarred by the effects of war or the circumstances that attended their service. The bad circumstances can even come from association with your fellow warriors. All come back different. We are in a war. You're going to end this war and you're going to be different. You're going to be changed for the better or changed for the worse. We are in a war. So it is with life and its circumstances also. We are at war with the powers that be. We shall be changed by the end of our probation. There is no question. And many people will be permanent. You know, they'll be past the point of change. And that's what, you know, it says in the Book of Mormon, when they reach the height of iniquity and they're ripened in iniquity. Well, you know, ripe fruit never changes for the better again. It's as far as it's going to go. They'll never change. Don't be ripe. Let's go up. Let's continue to grow. Don't reach a place where you think it's enough. Never in your life. There's always some new challenge, spiritual challenge, whether it be when you're a young person and you're having to wrestle with all the things that young people wrestle. And I watch my grandkids and some of the young people that I know, and I remember all of the things that I wrestled with when I was going to school, going to a grade school and to a high school. Every day was a trial in one way or another. What did they think about me? Do I look okay? Is my shirt untucked? Is my hair okay? Is someone going to laugh at me today? All these things. Do they like me? Am I going to do something stupid? Are they going to like me when I have to stand up and give a speech? All this stuff that you're so worried about. Are they going to like me? And am I going to be accepted? And some people will do all kinds of things just to be accepted. But you are accepted. So we're going to fight with the powers that be. These are the powers that we're going to fight with. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For ye wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Not necessarily always just to be preserved physically, but to be worthy to escape these things. To be worthy to escape the sin of this day. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing except your personal decisions and life and actions can separate you from God. There is nothing that can keep you away. What is it that makes us worthy? You know, the first thing that we have to realize is a simple thing. You have been invited by the King. That's what makes you worthy to come here. You're invited by the King to come. I was invited to go to that bat mitzvah, and I had the invitation. And when we walked in there and they saw that, the first person that saw us, he said, well, you're at the right place. You have the right invitation. You can come. I'll show you right where to go. You have an invitation. You are worthy to be here. Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. All these things, these longings that we have, they're hidden from all the wise men of our day, all the professors and the scientists and the people who, the naysayers against our Christ, they are hidden from their eyes. But if you're humble, they are revealed to you. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You've been called here. Jesus wants to reveal his Father to you. He wants to reveal this, to give you this, what you need in your soul to supply what you hunger for more than anything else, to belong to God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All. Come. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And sometimes there are moments when it doesn't seem so light, you know, until you apply your faith and realize and say in your heart, well, I know he has promised to be with me. And so you go on, and then you find out that he is. He is. But that moment of decision, that's sometimes hard. That's what's difficult. That's what feels so heavy sometimes. But that moment of decision that requires, and we have to do just like Caleb, let us go up. Let us go up. Let us go. Let us draw near to God. You know, we fear at times losing something that we want and love so much. If I go, if I truly give my heart and my life to the Lord, I'll lose something that I need for happiness. And it is a lie. It is a lie. The invitation is here to supply the innermost things which we need. Another invitation. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore, he commandeth none that they should not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, depart from me? No one. You are worthy to be here. You are worthy to come to God. Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he saith, come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, buy milk and honey, without money and without price. Very significant words. I'm sure you've heard someone explain those. Milk and honey. Very significant. You know, not only do they taste pretty good, but it means you have everything else. Everything else. If you have milk, you have cattle, you have pasture, you have farms. You have everything you need. You have honey, you have bees, and you have crops, and you have flowers. You have fruit. Very significant. You have everything. Behold, hath he commanded that any, that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. You know, this is a good thing to think of at the end of this year, the beginning of another year, do you exemplify this invitation? Are you open for anyone to come? Or are there people you don't want here? We have a lot to offer this world in which we can do our portion to change the lives and to help the world one life at a time. Just like Brother Duane said here just recently, one life at a time, one person at a time, we can change this world. If we have the name of Christ always in our hearts, you are worthy. Mosiah 3:13. Now it came to pass that whosoever shall not take upon them the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that ye should remember also that this is the name that I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out, except it be through transgression. Therefore take heed that ye do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. And I say unto you, I would that ye should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye not be found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which ye shall be called, and also the name by which he shall call you. You know, it's important, whatever we do, wherever we go, to exemplify what God has given, to hold this first and keep his name always in your heart and the things that you said, to remember him wherever you go, to think about everyone else that's there. Do they know what I know? Do they have the same kind of understanding, the same kind of hope, the same kind of joy? We need to see ourselves clearly. Mosiah 2:2, and they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. We have to see, you know, when every person that comes here, if we're going to make every one of us who is here feel welcome, then they have to understand as well that each one of us has our own weaknesses. We have our own problems. Everyone has their own problems. You know, we are sometimes afraid to talk about our weaknesses and our needs. But all of us have weaknesses. We have imperfections that we're working on, striving with. And I need you. I need my brothers and sisters. And you need everyone else. We need one another. We are weak people. By yielding to God, we make ourselves worthy. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent, yielding to him. You know, one of the statements is by one of the men in the Scriptures. He made a statement when he came to his life and someone began preaching to him, and he made the statement, you know, I didn't know God, but he said, I did know him. I wouldn't know him. I refused to know him. He wasn't listening to the voice that God is speaking to us. We should go out into the world realizing that the Lord is speaking to people that we see every day. He is speaking. He's whispering to them. And maybe you can help them on this way to salvation and peace. Well, we can't yield to our enemy. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Wherever you turn in the writings of Paul, he indicates that, you know, now you're different from the way that you once were. Things have changed. You can be a different person. You can go on. You can go on up. We need to sanctify ourselves. I was very interested in this thing we went to last night. One of the first things they were doing was they were sanctifying and making God's name holy. Making God holy. He is holy. But at the same time, we read the scriptures and we know we have to be holy. We have to make ourselves holy. Set ourselves apart, our time, our actions, our activities. From the book of Exodus, we read this. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there will I meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. You know, what is the correlation from this to this day? It's this place. We come here, sanctifying our time, sanctifying and blessing God by our presence and by our songs and by our prayers, and as well, sanctifying our own thoughts. Putting those things out, away from us that we've been thinking about all week long, and coming here to sanctify our minds, to set them aside for God, to give our minds and our thoughts to Him for a little while before Him. And that God will meet us there. He'll be there. That's His promise. If we meet in His name, He'll be there if we sanctify that time. Leviticus 20 and 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them, for I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. And one of the ways we sanctify ourselves is by keeping His commandments. From this time until now, it is the same. This is the way that we can sanctify our lives and make, even when your emotions and your thoughts are doing all kinds of things, if you truly have a desire to sanctify and give something to God, He recognizes that if it's from your heart. But you can have all kinds of thoughts. And the more you work at these things, the more control God gives you of your mind. The more control He gives you of your thoughts, because it becomes more of a habit with you things. And then, of course, then you've got to make sure it isn't just a habit. Thinking about what you do. My mother gave me a great piece of advice. When you come here and you sing, when she was teaching me to pray, and she was teaching me to say the Lord's Prayer in the evening, you know, she says, you know, you can say this prayer every night if you want. I says, I don't think that's what the Lord wants, but you can do that if you think about everything you're saying and you mean it. And the same thing is true of our songs. If we think about what we're singing, if we look and we encourage our kids to put down their Legos and look at this song and think about it, not because it gives you a thrill, but because you're sanctifying your mind. You're giving your mind to God in this way. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in their faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. And of course, this was a time when there was persecution. People were being persecuted, but they became more humble. What's going to be your reaction the day if we are truly persecuted? You know, there is some persecution right now, and there always has been. But at the day when we're truly persecuted, when government services maybe are refused us for one reason or another, or for whatever, what is going to be your reaction? Are you going to grow closer to God? Are you going to continue to go toward Jerusalem, toward Zion, towards God, towards His presence? by becoming more humble and meek and submissive? Or are you going to try and save your life? You're going to save your life? Or are you going to sanctify your life? 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10 and 11. Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Past tense. You were all, there were Gentiles who were all these things. And I'll bet that in this room, you could find someone who's guilty of, pick one of these things, and someone here is guilty, has been guilty of it. This is what you were. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Because you have walked away. You have repented and tried to give your life unto God alone. By being changed. You know, this is something that there are some people believe no one can truly change. Well, I think maybe our flesh never really changes. Except it just gets old, wears out. But I believe people do change. They change. I've seen many people change in my life. Mosiah 11, 190 to 193. Nevertheless, after wading through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy has seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning, and I'm born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul was racked with eternal torment, but I am snatched, and my soul is pained no more. And I know there are probably some people here. Maybe some young people, maybe some older people, and they have pain in their heart for one reason or another. You know, this should be a good year, a good time for us as we're going on up, you know, to begin to face the giants that threaten you, the giants that make you pull back. You know, one of the things that to me, the greatest giant, I think, is really involves other people, you know, trying to be there. Sometimes in situations I'm not very comfortable with, or with people that, well, you know, this is a very difficult person. But to be there, not back away, to be there, to stand as one of God's children, to stand with someone else and to help them to get over these things. To help them to always be the same, to try and be an unchangeable a person as our Lord is, to always be trying to do the right thing. Now, I'm not saying that there are not times we need to walk away from problems, but so often that's become the norm. It's become the norm in life. And as time goes on, we really need to face our dilemmas, face our emotions, face the people that make us uncomfortable, and face them in love and compassion. Well, this is as far as I'm going to go, and I'm going to ask you to consider some of these things. I'm going to extend to you again my desires for God to bless you, that you would find happiness and peace in life, that your life would be a blessing to other people, that you would learn, if you're having trouble trying to enjoy life without all the things of this world that you think you've got to have, there is happiness. There's a joy in God. There's a joy I find the older I get. It's a good thing because I can't run as fast anymore. There is a joy in thought. There's a joy in thinking about God. There's an unspeakable, it's at times overpowering. And why at times I am emotional when I talk about some of these things because I feel them. And they give me joy, not sadness, even though it appears that way. They give me joy. There's a joy in thought, a joy in overcoming. So I pray for you. I ask for your prayers for me and my family, that we will have the strength to do the right thing, that I will have the strength to put away the things of the world and to not try and save my life, but to draw closer, to go on, to go into the promised land, to go where God has promised us that we can go if we wish to. God bless you, each and every one.